The bamboo consisted of many varieties, from slender stalks only a few feet high to plants over 50 feet high. Many of the trees were overgrown, with the vines bearing huge green, red, yellow, and blue flowers. "Bamboo is the material for spear shafts," Burton said. "Pipes for conducting water, containers, the basic stuff for building houses, furniture, boats, charcoal, even for making gunpowder. And the young stalks of some may be good for eating. But we need stone for tools to cut down and shape the wood." They climbed over hills whose height increased as they neared the mountain. After they had walked about 2 miles as the crow flies, 8 miles as the caterpillar crawls, they were stopped by the mountain. This rose in a sheer cliff face of some blue-black igneous rock, on which grew huge patches of a blue-green lichen. There was no way of determining how high it was, but Burton didn't think that he was wrong in estimating it as at least 20,000 feet high. As far as they could see, up and down the valley, it presented a solid front. "Have you noticed the complete absence of animal life?" Frigate said. "Not even an insect," Burton exclaimed. He strode to a pile of broken rock and picked up a fist-sized chunk of greenish stone. "Chert," he said. "If there's enough, we can make knives, spearheads, adzes, axes, and with them build houses, boats, and many other things." "Tools and weapons must be bound to wooden shafts," Frigate said. "What do we use as binding material?" "Perhaps human skin," Burton said. The others looked shocked. Burton gave a strange, chirruping laugh, incongruous in so masculine-looking a man. He said, "If we're forced to kill in self-defense, or lucky enough to stumble over a corpse some assassin has been kind enough to prepare for us, we'd be fools not to use what we need. However, if any of you feel self-sacrificing enough to offer your own epidermises for the good of the group, step forward. We'll remember you in our wills." "Surely you're joking," Alice Hargreaves said. "I can't say I particularly care for such talk." Frigate said, "Hang around him, and you'll hear lots worse." But he didn't explain what he meant. Chapter 6 Burton examined a rock along the base of the mountain. The blue-black, densely grained stone of the mountain itself was some kind of basalt, but there were pieces of chert scattered on the surface of the earth, or sticking out of the surface at the base. These looked as if they might have fallen down from a projection above, so it was possible that the mountain was not a solid mass of basalt. Using a piece of chert which had a thin edge, he scraped away a patch of the lichenous growth. The stone beneath it seemed to be a greenish dolomite. Apparently the pieces of chert had come from the dolomite, though there was no evidence of decay or fracture of the vein. The lichen could be Parmelia saxatilis, which also grew on old bones, including skulls, and hence, according to the doctrine of signatures, was a cure for epilepsy and a healing salve for wounds. Hearing stone banging away on stone, he returned to the group. All were standing around the subhuman and the American, who was squatting back to back and working on the chert. Both had knocked out rough hand axes. While the others watched, they produced 6 more. Then each took a large chert nodule and broke it into 2 with a hammerstone. Using 1 piece of the nodule, they began to knock long, thin flakes from the outside rim of the nodule. They rotated the nodule and banged away until each had about 12 blades. They continued to work, one a type of man who had lived 100,000 years or more before Christ, the other the refined end of human evolution, a product of the highest civilization, technologically speaking, of Earth, and, indeed, one of the last men on Earth, if he was to be believed. Suddenly, Frigate howled, jumped up and hopped around holding his left thumb. One of his strokes had missed its target. Kaz grinned, exposing huge teeth like tombstones. He got up, too, and walked into the grass with his curious, rolling gait. He returned a few minutes later with 6 bamboo sticks with sharpened ends and several with straight ends. He sat down and worked on 1 stick until he had split the end and inserted the triangular chipped-down point of an axe head into the split end. This he bound with some long grasses. Within half an hour, the group was armed with hand axes, axes with bamboo hafts, daggers and spears with wooden points and with stone tips. By then, Frigate's hand had quit hurting so much, and the bleeding had stopped. Burton asked him how he happened to be so proficient in stoneworking. "I was an amateur anthropologist," he said. "A lot of people, a lot relatively speaking, learned how to make tools and weapons from stone as a hobby. Some of us got pretty good at it, though I don't think any modern ever got as skillful and as swift as a Neolithic specialist. Those guys did it all their lives, you know. Also, I just happen to know a lot about working bamboo, too, so I can be of some value to you."